Here we are, a Thursday morning, and I always enjoy talking to Senator Fasano. He is one of the senators over on the Hill, and something interesting. One of the candidates for governor, Mr. Lamont, is the Democratic candidate, and Senator Fasano made a statement saying that the show that is being put on, checking Ned Lamont's statements in a recent interview published in the Fairfield County Business Journal, calls it stunning cluelessness. And that fascinated me, and I think it would fascinate anybody. And so Senator Fasano is on the line with me right now. Senator, good morning, good morning.
Brad, good morning to you on this Thursday.
Well, how are you? How are you holding together?
Good. Great. You know, I love fall weather. I love football. And, you know, we're busy with the politics and elections, but I like this season a lot.
What is this all about, though, this stunning cluelessness, cluelessness, I should pronounce it correctly. Ned Lamont, what did he do at Fairfield County, the Business Journal?
Well, I think some of his statements were rather both amazing, telling, and also clueless, and let me explain. You know, he said that he thought the budget that we passed, and as you know, from all of our interviews that we've done, and I know you're a big supporter of the issue that bipartisanship helps to achieve unity and move the state forward. You're always saying
that's
Republicans
right.
And Democrats, they got to get together and talk. And, you know, we kicked the governor out and we got together and talked. And we came up with a budget that has a spending cap, a bonding cap, controls our budget and our expenditures. And Ned Lamont said it was a lousy budget. Now, it's a historic budget for many reasons. We put back an educational formula that's a real formula instead of the political shenanigans Malloy was doing. So it was a good budget. So for him to call it a lousy budget suggests he can't know what this budget does. He can't know that there's a spending cap and a bonding cap. And he hasn't studied it. And then he can't be a fervent believer in bipartisanship because that's what happened.
And well, you don't... I tell you something, this is just over the years. I never thought Ned Lamont was one of those believers, as you say. But I remember when you guys got together on the budget, and it was, everybody was saying it was a tremendous budget.
Exactly. So for this guy to say that suggests this guy doesn't like bipartisanship. This guy doesn't want to have conversations. Ned Lamont wants to have a divisive government, sort of like the way Malloy was doing it. We kicked Governor Malloy out so we could get a bipartisan deal done. So Ned Lamont is saying that that's not the right thing to do, to get people together to have a conversation. Well, that's very scary to me. We had a dictator. We don't need another. Number two, he talks about, you know, we should do what they're doing. I think he referred to, I think it was Rhode Island, about bulk buying of prescription. Well, we do that. Connecticut already has done that program where we take advantage of bulk buying of prescriptions. So I don't know what he's alluding to in that statement whatsoever. And then he talks again about this toll thing, $100 million, without telling us how much he's charging per truck, because it's only trucks, how much he's charging per mile, where these tolls are going to be, and how did you come up with $100 million? Where are the facts? If you're saying it, and you've got a definitive number, how do you derive at that number? Where's the math? And he has yet to show one item. So it's a whole host. I think that interview is very telling because it shows a lack of knowledge of those things that you have to know to be a good governor. And it was really, I was taken aback by what I would say is his lack of knowledge of the budget, of knowing how Connecticut runs their healthcare system, it was pretty telling to me. And, you know, we don't need that in Hartford. We don't need a grandstander. We don't need a person who's going to say stuff irrespective of the facts. Hopefully, if he throws enough stuff against the wall, he'll pick up a vote here or a vote there. We need someone who knows what the real issues are, surgically going to go in there and fix this state, but not do a broad base, let me see, I'll touch every issue and see what issue people know less about, and they'll feel comfortable with my answer. That's politics. That's not moving the state forward. And that's what makes me very nervous about if Ned Lamont becomes governor of the state of Connecticut.
You know, Senator, let me say this. I get out quite a bit. You know that. And
yes.
I talk with a lot of people. And if they don't think it's going to be close, they don't know who they're talking to. And I'm talking to, I'm saying people come up to me. If I'm in the supermarket or I'm out somewhere, they'll come up, hello, Brad, how are you? And they'll start talking about this coming election. And you'd be surprised the number of people, and I get it right here on the phone too, are very, very disappointed, very, very upset. And there's just a feeling. I mean, this is just my feeling, talking with a lot of the folks, that they just want something that's going to work. And I don't know. I just think that this is a tremendous opportunity to change things. I do. I just got that gut feeling.
Look, I think it is too. And people have got, and your listeners are the people who are going to make the real difference here when they vote on November for the legislature and the governor's position. And they're going to make a real difference. So they've got to stay vigilant. They got to talk about it at dinner events or just among friends when people say they're upset with Connecticut. You've got to say, if you're upset with the Connecticut, then you have to change the legislature, make it Republican, change the governorship, make it Republican. Let's put their hands on the wheel. Let's see what happens. And, you know, there are a lot of good candidates for the legislature that are out there, especially in the eastern part, you know, somebody from the House, Melissa Zebron, who is a House member now running for the state Senate, because Art Linares moved out of his district. And so, you know, that's a good person to get in the state Senate. And, we, you know, there was a poll put out by the AARP that shows it's a dead heat between Ned Lamont and Bob Stefanowski. So it is going to be a very close race.
Oh, I think Stefanowski is going to be powerful in this election. That's anyway, I got something I want to pass along to you, okay? Because I'm going to talk about it this morning. Do you know this is the truth in accounting, okay? The truth in accounting record right now. Massive taxpayer burden. If we had to do it, I'm talking about every single person in Connecticut, a senator, we would have to put in per person, so we would be even, $53,400 per person, okay, as far as Connecticut is concerned. And this is why they have become, along with a couple of other states, they call it the sinkhole state. But would you believe that amount? That's where we're at, and nobody tells you that.
That's unbelievable. You know, if I had to take a guess, I would have said 30, but 53 is a huge
53,000, and I've got
number.
Senator George Logan coming on, and I've been reading about this, and we are ranked 49th in the country. And this is a new analysis of state financial health by Truth in Accounting. So there it is.
Wow.
Yep.
That's unbelievable. 53 is an awful lot of money.
You bet
and
it
Senator
is.
Senator Logan is a great guy. He's going to be a good guest. I know you have him on from time to time, but he is a great guy.
But, I mean, when I look at the costs, Connecticut only $12.1 billion in assets and to pay $89.1 billion in bills.
Wow.
Now, this is the stuff people don't hear.
No, and that really boils it down to a real dollar figure. I mean, that's something that we talk about debt. What you just said really simplifies it and quantifies it to a real number. Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Well,
that's a very high figure.
I'm glad that you were with me this morning, and I appreciate your appearances when you're with me. And I'm going to be talking with Senator George Logan at 10 minutes of 8 this morning. And then a little something else, the life insurance doctor, David Kotler, from Beechwood, Ohio. He's going to talk about the 7 deadly mistakes buyers make with their life insurance policy. Is there a hidden cash value to your policy? Is it true that 90% of life policies never last to maternity? I mean, it's all there. I thank you so much for being with me and for all the information you bring to my listeners.
Brad, thank you for having me on again. Appreciate it.
You bet.